Blog Talk Radio.
This is Jim Rutnick, and I'm here to say we've got the greatest wrestlers in the AWA. But you're not here to listen to me mumble. Let's fill you in on the Wrestle Rock Rumble. Get on!
Wrestle Rock, be there.
We're the Midnight Rockers, Sean and Marty. We love to wrestle, and we love to party. You don't have to worry, we're not gonna fumble, cause we'll be shaking through the Wrestle Rock Rumble. Ow!
Wrestle Rock.
I'm the Sheik, and that's not funny. I got my army a lot of money. If Gunny in my way, I make him crumble. He be sorry, I did the Wrestle Rock Rumble.
Wrestle Rock, be there.
I'm Jerry Blackwell, I want to see. I want to get my hands on that pencil neck geek. As I watch the EDF fumble, I'm going to make my splash in the Wrestle Rock Rumble.
The AWA, you, me, and Wrestle Rock.
I'm Greg Gagne, I'm in a rage. I want Brody, and I want him in a cage. A high-flying dropkick will make him see double. I grind him up at the Wrestle Rock Rumble. Woo!
Wrestle Rock.
I'm Kurt Hennig.
And Big Scott Hall. The tag team champs will take on them all.
So bring on the Long Riders, those dirtball dumbos.
We'll smear those bushes to the Wrestle Rock Rumble.
I've got a passion. I'll get the title back from the humanoid Hanson. I've got the brains, and I'm not humble. I'll take the belt back and do the Wrestle Rock Rumble.
Wrestle Rock, Oklahoma, at the Dome.
Wrestle Rock, 86, be there.
I won't be through till I get done clapping around Scott the Duke. Gonna beat the ugly bartender into a bundle and laugh all the way doing Wrestle Rock Rumble. Ow!
This game talk got a mouth that won't quit, but I'm Scott the Duke and wanna smack a little shit. And when I'm through, you won't be able to mumble. I'll be left alone doing the Wrestle Rock Rumble. Yeah!
Just one last word from the former champ Burns, but give a lot of thought to one more turn. There's some old scores that still give me trouble, and I'm starting to get the urge to do the Wrestle Rock Rumble.
So there you have it, and now you know him, and on April 20th, it's at the Dome. So get your tickets to be under the bubble, because you two can be doing the Wrestle Rock Rumble. Do it!
Rumble. Wrestle Rock Rumble.
The Wrestle Rock Rumble.
Wrestle Rock Rumble.
Hello and welcome to a special edition of Over the Top Radio. I am your host, Ed, in San Antonio, the home of where this year's Royal Rumble took place last night. And I'm currently joined by absolutely no one. Couture disappears for a couple weeks at a time. Craig is busy working. Peace Machine is I guess, teaching. And I don't know how he's a teacher. He's a pervert weirdo. I don't know how he got that job or is allowed to have that job, but somehow he has it. So I'm here. I went to the Royal Rumble last night, which was an awesome show, a highly, highly awesome show. I highly enjoyed pretty much everything on the show. I don't think there was anything too bad. Probably the worst match was probably Sasha against Nia Jax. And I think it was better live than if you saw it on the network, because apparently they did commercials, and I think they did a commercial through some of Sasha's offense. So it mainly looked like, apparently it looked like a squash to people watching at home. So that was probably the only thing that wasn't great. Nia Jax sucks. I'm sorry. She's just horrible. You know, I know a big giant is supposed to be kind of slow and podding. I just made up a word there, I guess. But supposed to be slow, take their time. She's too damn slow. She takes too much damn time. She doesn't have the instincts to do like Andre the Giant or the Big Show and tell a story while they're being slow and pondering. she just is just slow and pondering, and it's boring, and she sucks, and she's horrible, and if they wanted a monster, they should have hired Havoc or Vanessa Craven or probably even a few other indie girls that are so much better workers, but, you know, she's The Rock's cousin, so they gave her a break. And, yeah, she's horrible. She's almost as bad as Dana Brooke, who thankfully wasn't on the show. But anyways, what I'm going to do tonight, or this morning, is since I don't have a co-host and I really needed to do a show this week, we've been slacking way too much lately, is what I'm going to do is I'm going to rewatch the actual Royal Rumble match itself and make comments throughout the match and observations. And hopefully I won't suck too bad because I hate doing shows by myself. It kind of sucks. Kind of hard to do it, you know. So anyway, thoughts on other matches. We got there during the opening match of the pre-show, which was a six-woman match between Alexa Bliss, Mickie James, and Natty against Nikki Bella, Naomi, and Becky Lynch. And like I say, missed part of it, but it was pretty good. It looks so stupid when Naomi does those speedball Mike Bailey kicks, but I guess he's banned from the country, so she can get away with doing it because no one else is really doing them here. But it looks kind of dumb. But anyway, Naomi got the win on Alexa Bliss, which I hated because Alexa Bliss is my favorite WWE women's wrestler currently. Not the best technical wrestler, but by far the hottest girl they got. And as big of a women's wrestling fan that I am, I do judge on looks also. And she does have the best look. So, big Alexa Bliss fan, but she got pinned. But, you know, it sets up a match for the next pay-per-view, which you got to do. So, I'm not going to complain too much about it, even though, you know, she should win everything. She should be, like, the most undefeated. She should have, like, a Goldberg streak, as far as I'm concerned. But anyway, so the babyface is won and sets up stuff for the next show. Other pre-show match, Pat Sheamus and Cesaro, and they defended the titles against Luke Gallows and Carl Anderson and Luke Gallows. And good match. I really like Sheamus and Cesaro as a team. It's a good mix with the heel-face duality between the two of them. And Carl Anderson is awesome. Luke Gallows, he's okay. But, you know, Anderson, he's awesome. Even though I don't think he's ever won a match in WWE, because, you know, he's the small dude. But anyway, we have new tag champions. That Sheamus, one of the refs that was in the ring, and the second ref ended up making the pin when Gallows and Anderson got the pin. So they're the new champions, and, you know, I guess you had to give it to them because they would have absolutely no credibility. They had very little going into this match because they've lost so many times. But, you know, they got the win, so they're champions. I really wouldn't have beat Sheamus and Cesaro this soon, though. I really enjoy their act and stuff. The next match was, once again, the Nia Jax, Sasha Banks match. And like I say, it's the worst match. I mean, they were off cue on a couple things very early, and just any kind of came out of nowhere. I was actually shocked that they beat Sasha Banks like that because she just basically got pinned clean decisively, and that was kind of a shock. So that was the three matches on the pre-show. The pre-show lasted like 2 freaking hours. I don't know why you need a two-hour pre-show, Jesus Christ, especially when you're doing almost a four-hour pay-per-view. So I guess that's how WrestleMania is going to be, and I guess that's how all the big shows are going to be from now on, so we're just going to have to get used to it. As far as the pay-per-view itself, Bayley, who's my second favorite WWE wrestler after Alexa Bliss, had her title match against Charlotte, and they had a decent match. Nothing blow away. I mean, it wasn't one of the better women's matches, but it was good. And this is another match where the finish kind of came out of nowhere. Charlotte hit the natural selection outside on the apron and then rolled Bayley in, pinned her clean. I wouldn't have had Bayley win now. I would save that for WrestleMania. That would be an awesome pop if she wins at WrestleMania. But I would have had more shenanigans in her being defeated, like have her almost win, because I don't think she ever really got any of those like pins where it looked like she was going to win. So I would have I would have built her stronger, and then, like, if they had to finish where Charlotte just screws her somehow, cheats her way out of it. But they did what they did, but like I say, it was a good match, but not really what I would have done. I mean, I would have done the same winner, but just not the way they did it. Next match was Kevin Owens against Roman Reigns, Chris Jericho in a shark cage, and Chris Jericho, except for certain spots, you know, he was kind of like out of the picture in the cage. He wasn't making too much of a, bringing too much attention to himself except when he needed to. And this match is weird because basically the way you think this match is going is going to be okay. Jericho's going to be up there. Roman's going to be kicking Owens' ass. Jericho's going to have to throw down some kind of weapon, brass nuts, chain, roll a quarter, something to Owens, but somehow Roman will end up with him. Roman will use it against Owens. He'd win, and then you'd have a reason to have Owens, Jericho at WrestleMania against each other because Owens would be mad that Jericho fucked it up for him. That's not what they did, and it really kind of took that aspect out of it because it was no DQ match. So the whole match, they're using tables and chairs, and Kevin Owens was playing Tetris with the chairs and making some kind of like artwork or something on the outside. And of course, when he's doing that, you're like, okay, his fat ass is the one that's going to go through the chairs. And they tease Roman going through them, didn't deliver. They went away from it. And then, of course, later on, Kevin Owens' fat ass went through the chairs. And it didn't look as bad as I thought it was going to be because it's one of those things where the chairs are set up so weird that something could happen but didn't. Jericho, like he did, dropped the brass knucks and Owen used them and he punched Roman in the face and went for the pin. And he think that would be it, but somehow brass knuckles aren't enough to knock out Roman Reigns and he kicked out. And And X-Pac went crazy on Twitter, apparently, from what I hear. And the match kind of continued. And it looked like Roman was about to win. And then Braun Strowman was the fucking biggest hero of the night. And he interfered and kicked the shit out of Roman Reigns and threw him onto one of the announce tables, which didn't break. And he kind of hit the corner. So, you know, Roman hit that thing pretty good. Good thing he has a fucking flak jacket on. You know, I don't know why it's fair that he gets to wrestle in a fucking flak jacket. I mean, Jesus Christ, things can defend bullets. And how are you going to hurt a dude with punches and bare skin and bone and shit? So, anyway, so Roman didn't win. People were happy. It kind of was confusing because you kind of know they're leading up to Jericho Owens at WrestleMania, but it didn't happen now. I guess it happens at the next pay-per-view. And they'll somehow build to that. But it kind of like, you know, Meltzer's reporting that it's going to be Roman against Undertaker. So when this happened, you're kind of like, okay, what happened with that? It looks like now it kind of looks like Roman against Braun Strowman. And everyone's favorite Twitter troll, Robert, was asking Meltzer what was up with that finish. And I thought, you know, that it was supposed to be Roman's Undertaker. Anyway, so then after that match, they had the death spot match, which was basically the restroom break in the dome. I literally saw people, a shitload of people, get up and go to the concessions in the bathrooms, and very little heat for this match. They got loud a couple times, but and it was a decent match. I mean, I really like Rich Swann. I really like Neville. Neville's been awesome as a heel. The only thing it kind of takes away from some of his best moves that he can't do, but he's kind of really. He's reinvented the Cruiserweight division since his return. It's been a little better. Like I say, the match was good, but nothing spectacular. That's the one thing that they're fucking up with this division. It's supposed to be dudes who do flippy-doos, and they really don't do flippy-doos. So it's like, you know, they're not really getting over to where, like, the Cruiserweight division in WCW used to be when they used to just go out and have all these badass matches and be innovative and do crazy shit. You know, it's basically watching little dudes have the same matches as the big guys. So, anyway, it's doing better. But like I say, this was a restroom break match there live. And very quiet at times during the match also. And Neville is the new Cruiserweight champion. So that's good. And hopefully they can bring in Tozawa and Metalik and have some better matches. So then that led to the SmackDown match, which I think was the only SmackDown match on the main card, and John Cena, AJ Styles. This match was freaking awesome. One of the best WWE matches I've seen in a long time. They just kicked out of it. They just did everything to each other. I mean, AJ must have took like four AAs, one of them off like the top rope or second rope, and kicked out of them with all of them to the end, where he thought Cena finally hit two of them in a row and pinned them. And awesome spot where they were just trading submission holds back and forth. Like, there must have been four or five different submission holds, and the place is going fucking crazy for submission holds. So that was fucking awesome. And unlike the Roman Reigns and Owens match, they had no fucking smoke and mirrors. It was all wrestling match, and it was awesome. And it just shows that you don't need to have a whole bunch of bullshit to have a great match. You just need to have two great wrestlers. And, you know, for all the people who bash Cena and say he's not a good wrestler, how is he not a good wrestler? And he's constantly in the best matches of the shows for years. So, you know, I'm on Team Cena. And if you think Cena can't wrestle or sucks, there's something wrong with you and you need mental help. So what I'm going to do for the rest of the show is I got the network queued up and it's working for me. It doesn't think I'm in India like apparently it thought for some people and told them they had to wait 24 hours. So I'm going to start this match here. And, here it goes. So we got Chris Jericho and Big Cass in the ring. And I really thought they were going to give Cass this big push because him and Enzo came out and they were doing their spew and they were really awesome. And Cass, who left the best promo, was even awesome. And the way he was so thinking, okay, he's going to get the Iron Man spot. He's the guy who's going to be the surprise guy who's going to, like, look good and be awesome. And it didn't quite end up being that way, but, you know, he started off on Jericho, beating the crap out of Jericho and throwing Jericho around. And many times during the match, Jericho would just, like, disappear for, like, long times. I guess they knew he was going, but he was the Iron Man of the match. And, you know, Chris Jericho's not as young as he used to be. So, you know, he needed some breaks. So he got a few breaks in there during the match. But him and Cass started off pretty good. And, yeah. And then, you know, of course, it's the Royal Rumble, and supposedly it's 2 minutes, or, you know, you don't know if it's 2 minutes or 1 minute or 90 seconds, because they only show the timer for, like, the 10-second countdown. So it's kind of hard to tell. Like, the first one, it seemed like, first few, it was like they were doing about a minute, and then some of them would do more, and some people kind of think they don't like that. They think it should be actual 2 minutes, but they kind of plan everything around high spots. So, like, Cass got a big boot right before, like, the countdown came down. And then, so, like, now we have, like, the third entrant, coming in. And it's Kalisto. So, he's, they really saved the big guys toward the end of this Rumble for the most part. And they kept everyone, you know, there was very little interaction between a lot of the main ones. So, they really kept it, like, interesting. I mean, it was always, like, something going on. So, Kalisto came in like a ball of fire, running around everywhere. He did all right, you know, bouncing around like a little pinball against Jericho and Big Cass. And it was okay, you know. They're starting off at a slow pace, kind of. You know, I mean, saving the big stuff for later. And it's a Royal Rumble. It's a long match. You can't have total excitement the whole time. So, anyway, I'm going to go ahead and hit the 10-second advance thing here. And Kalisto's still running wild, but got big booted by Cass. Cass did look good for, like, the first few minutes. And then once he got some lower talented guys in there to work with, wasn't as good, and then he started to get tired. So now we got the camera coming down again, and everyone's standing up, counting it down for the thing. And let's see, we got entrant number four, and entrant number four is Mojo Rawley. And one of the most hated baby faces next to Roman Reigns in the company, I guess. I actually like Mojo. He's not bad. I think I like him just because most people don't like Mojo. just because he's kind of annoying with his hype gimmick, which is legit. I met the dude. I met him at the WrestleMania in New Orleans on I don't know if it was Bourbon Street or one of the wherever we were partying. We went to like so many bars that night, and we ran into a bunch of the guys at Mojo, and Mojo is just as crazy and hyped in real life when he's drunk as he is when he's in the ring. So he was a good dude. I liked him. And he's just not very good in the ring. I mean, he tries. Is that he doesn't try? He's just not very good. Except for a few exceptions and people who are just, I guess, born to wrestle, like Charlotte and a few other people, but people they get from scratch at the Performance Center, they don't really get very good. And so right now we got Mojo and Jericho trying to throw out Cass, and Kalisto down, and Cass is fighting back here. And like I say, you know, I mean, there's action, but nothing like majors going on. And now we're going to have entrant number 5 coming in. I think it's number 5. And let's see who it's going to be. I can't even remember now. And that was there live. And, Jack Gallagher. I don't know exactly how you say it, but little tasty English dude comes running down with his umbrella. And the one thing about them doing the Rumble in the Alamo Dome is he just barely got into the ring. I mean, they had to come a long ways, man. And there's something that happened that, you know, just not too long ago I listened to the Brian and Vinny show and then the Wrestling Observer with Dave. And they all left out something that I'll bring up in a few minutes here. But, you know, he's got his umbrella and he's using it to beat up everybody. And I guess it's like the bunkhouse stampede. Come as you are, use whatever you want. So Jericho kind of starts to cut him off and starts to pose, and now Gallagher is going to grab his umbrella and fucking hit Chris Jericho in the dick with his umbrella. and then he opens it up, and then he starts spinning it around, and they did fuck it up and shoot it to the side, so you see that it's Jericho spinning the umbrella. And before I look like it, looked like Gallagher was doing it. So anyway, he finally put the umbrella outside the ring. But it's not the last time we're going to see the umbrella in the match. And now we're back to Cass just throwing around Kalisto and, you know, just all these. There's constantly people trying to throw other people over the top. And I guess it gives them a little break here. And so we're just waiting down for the next entrance, which is about to come in right now. So down 7. Everyone stands up for the countdown. And here we go. We got entrant number 6. And let's see, who is it? I forgot. Oh, it's Mark Henry. Mark Henry, I guess, is one of the surprises in the Rumble. And Mark actually looks in great shape. He looks like he's lost a little weight. And he's all fired up. And maybe they didn't show this. Okay, that's why no one snapped to it, because they're not showing it right now. But for the big guys, because it was such a long way, they had this fucking golf cart rigged up where all the big guys came down in the golf cart, and they still haven't shown it, so maybe they didn't show it at all. So now Henry's walking, he's got off the golf cart, and he's walking to the ring. And he's about to get in and start clobbering people. So that's probably why they probably just didn't show anybody. But it was awesome live, because it looked like fucking Mark Henry was fucking riding a Segway to the ring, because you couldn't see the golf cart or the people. You just see and Gallagher just tried to headbutt Mark Henry to no avail and gets thrown out of the ring. And now he's going to grab his umbrella and he's going to go to the top rope. So, yeah, they had like some handle things set up on the golf cart where they could hold on to so they wouldn't fall down. Kind of like that one WrestleMania where they were, you know, in the whatever it was that was taking them to and from the ring. So that's what they did. Like I say, but you couldn't see the cart standing up. You thought fucking Mark Henry was just riding this giant Segway. And now Gallagher jumps off the top rope with the umbrella open, gets caught by Mark Henry, and then thrown off the top rope. And somebody on the writing staff must have just watched Mary Poppins or anything, because he did a Mary Poppins spot, and that was actually the first big super highlight of the Rumble, was the Mary Poppins spot with Jack Gallagher. And now we got another person about to come in, and let's see, number seven. Oh, it's Bronny the Strowman, who really looks like Ogre from Revenge of the Nerds. Every time I see him, I just want to say nerd. So anyway, and yeah, they start showing him walk to the ring, but then they cut away, and now they're just showing the ring. So he really looks funny, because he was like looking, he looked like he was a giant riding the tiny Segway to the ring. And so, man, it was so awesome. I can't believe they cut that out, because it was just so awesome, them riding this fucking cart to the fucking ring, dude. So that's why nobody noticed it. That's actually kind of hilarious. So now we got Mojo's kind of getting a little heat on Strowman, but he's about to get cut off and slam. And basically, here's where we're going to clear. There goes Mojo. He's out of there. And this is where they kind of made Strowman look like the first real dominant guy. And there goes Cass, goes flying out of the ring. And I was kind of like I say, I thought they were going to give Cass a lot more, but they didn't. So now Kalisto's trying to still attack Strowman, and now Kalisto is going to go flying out of the ring, I think. Yeah, he's about to go flying out of the ring, and now we're going to whoa, he chunked the shit out of him. And now we're going to have the big stare down between the big Bronny, the Strowman, against Mark Henry. And Mark Henry, he's lost a little weight, but he's still, and he's older, but he's one of those guys that he looked at me just in any kind of the meanest way, I would fucking run. It's like, fuck that. I'm out of here. I ain't fucking with Mark Henry. But Mark Henry is about to go out. So that leaves, and Chris Jericho is already taking one of his first breaks, hiding outside the ring, and he's letting Braun Strowman just stand there and celebrate as they count down to the next person. And let's see who the next person be. I already lost what number they are. Let's see here. It's got to be like 8 or 9, maybe. And they're not showing it on. They wish you could see it like on the ramp. Oh, here it is. He's number 8. Sami Zayn, who they've been making look like the biggest goofball on TV. So Sami, I guess, is in the doghouse, but you know he's still awesome. So these guys have been shooting, and he was over big time. Everyone in the building started chanting Olay, and Sami is awesome. He's a fiery fucking babyface, and yeah, he's great. But you know he's up against the big monster Braun Strowman here, and so now it's down to the two of them. I'm gonna hit the 10-second thing here, and. No, Braun is just kind of throwing Sami around, but Sami's, you know, playing dodge, trying to stay away from the big man, and now he's trying to throw him out, but a little, not too effective, gets thrown away, and Jericho's still hiding on the outside. He's not hurt, he's just out there. He's just standing there and not doing anything, being smart, and so the Strowman's just kicking the shit out of Sami here. So hopefully the timer will start and we'll get to number 9 here pretty soon. And more devastation by Braun Strowman on Sami Zayn. And here we go. Here's the timer. Everyone's standing up to see what's going on. And let's see here. It's number 9 here. Who's number 9? I forgot. Oh, the Big Show. Okay. Let's see if they show the fucking golf cart. It's funny because Brian's talking about how it took Big Show forever to walk to the ring. Imagine how much longer it would have took if he didn't have the golf cart. And this one, he really looks funny because he just looked like, I mean, he's huge, but when he was riding on top of this golf cart, he just looked like he was 20 feet tall. They're not showing it. I don't know why they're not showing it, because it was such an awesome visual. They wait till he gets off of the golf cart and then starts walking out. But it was just so cool looking. I don't know why they didn't show that. That's kind of stupid. And show is taking his time. So like I say, I can only imagine how much Brian and him would have bitched about if he didn't take the golf cart and shit, because the golf cart was actually moving pretty quick. So I guess they didn't want the big guys to get blown up before they even got into the ring. But we got the stare down between the two biggest dudes in the WWE. And Big Show starts working over Bronny the Strongman and gets a little shine on him. Lord, the shine didn't last too long. He's already out on his feet from a clothesline from Braun Strongman. And Braun's got his mean face going on. And they are putting over Braun. He's pretty good. I've highly enjoyed everything they've been doing with him ever since he suplexed the Christmas tree. That was fucking phenomenal. So here he was going to clothesline Big Show. Big Show cut him off. He's going for the choke slam. And he actually choke slam Big Braun Strowman. And now Chris Jericho is coming back in the ring and goes for a code breaker but gets caught. And now, boom, knockout punch. And now Chris Jericho is going to roll out of the ring and take a second break. And this one he even think lasted longer. So I think he was outside the ring for at least he was in there for over an hour. I think a third of that was outside of the ring. And here comes Braun Strowman picking up the Big Show and dumping him over the he didn't totally get him over. But now he's just pushing him over, just manhandling him over. Didn't look too smooth, but he did get the big dude over finally. Or still trying. And there goes Big Show. And Big Show looks phenomenal. He's in the best shape since when he first came out as a giant. I mean, he's really lost a lot of weight. And a little bit of a stare down. So anyway, Show can go back to working out and getting ready for his big match with Shaquille O'Neal. And the countdown is going down, and now we have number 10. Now, for weeks, you'd hear people talking about, oh, it's got to be Ty Dillinger, the perfect 10. He's so over. It'll be crazy. Everyone will be chanting 10, 10, 10. And if he doesn't come out, everyone will get pissed off. And I swear to God, I was hoping that he would not come out because nobody was chanting fucking 10 during the whole show. No one gave a fuck. And I was getting ready to tweet, ha ha, all you people who thought I was going to be Ty Dillinger and thought it was going to be so over, you're stupid. And then it was Ty Dillinger at number 10. And he did get a good pop, but I think had he not come out, I don't think no one would have really gave a shit. You know, just because they were chanting at NXT, there were 7,000 people at NXT, whereas they announced 52,000, and they had the two end zones sides. Well, one of them was going to be blocked off because of the stage and everything, but the other one, the upper deck was blocked off. I was on the hard camera side where the cameras are facing the, you know, so I couldn't see the upper deck there, but apparently they had that one blocked off too. And the people who bought tickets there supposedly got an upgrade, but they got, like, horrible floor seats. So it really wasn't an upgrade. And it happened to one of my friends here. So now it looks like we're going to get a double suplex, Sammy and Ty, but Bronny the Strowman is going to reverse it and give them a double suplex as the time is coming down for number 11. So let's see here. This is also one of the best parts. James Ellsworth, he comes out. He's all fired up. He's got Carmella with him. And she's looking really hot. She was the only girl that came down to the ring. All the other ones just said goodbye at the ramp and then went backstage. But Carmella's coming down with him. Ellsworth, he went from being all fired up to now he doesn't want to get in the ring because it's Braun Strowman and Carmella's trying to push him in the ring and get him going. And, you know, you got to give it to Ellsworth. He's smart here. He doesn't want to get in the ring with Braun Strowman. And he's fucking scared for his life. And Carmella's doing everything she can to get him in there. And Braun is just chomping at the bit to get a hold of this fool. And James Ellsworth is like, fuck that. And can't blame the dude. Can't blame the dude. Even if I could fuck Carmella if I had to get in the ring with Braun Strowman, I'm not doing it. I don't give a fuck. Anyway, the other guys kind of came over and they almost tossed Strowman out, but he Actually, he didn't do the skin to cap, but he held on to the top rope and kept his feet from touching. So a little athleticism from the big man, and now he's taking out Sammy and Ty and going back to wanting to get Ellsworth, but Ellsworth still won't come in. And let's see when they go to the countdown here. Okay, here's the countdown. Here's the timer. And we're going for number 12, I believe. And let's see here. Okay, it's Dean Ambrose. The people, there was a big pop for Dean Ambrose when his music hit and he came out. And Dean's awesome, so he's coming to the ring. And he's getting ready to start fighting. And he's finally getting to the end, to the long run. And Ellsworth is kind of like scared that he might jump on him. But then Dean's like, come on, we can do this together. Me and you, buddy, me and you. We're going to go in there. We're going to fuck him up. And Ellsworth's getting all fired up and pissed off again. And they're ready to go. And Ambrose is counting 1, 2, 3. And fucking Ellsworth is just in the ring. Gets fucking killed while fucking Dean just stayed out like a dick. And he's just out there watching from the outside as Ellsworth gets killed. And he gets picked up for a big-ass chokeslam. Went straight down on his head. Poor dude. Looked like he fucking just died there. Apparently he's okay. That was awesome. It was actually awesome, the whole James Ellsworth thing. That was one of my favorite spots. And like I say, he took. They're showing in slow motion. Jesus Christ, he's lucky his fucking hit didn't shatter. Like if he was an old lady falling down or something. So now we got Dean in there, and he's trying to put up a fight against the big man. But little success here, but now he's being cut off and being pummeled. Or, you know, he's still actually fighting. So now you got, he just took a drop kick from Ty, clothesline from Sammy. They're all triple teaming his ass. They're all pounding on him. And then we get our first roar spot of the night. And then he just knocks the shit out of Ty and starts beating up the three dudes all by himself. And like I say, they did a good job with Braun. So here comes the timer again, and we're going to see who comes out. And like I say, even though I was there live just not even fucking 12 hours ago or less than 12 hours, I don't even remember who the fuck came in. So now we got 13, and it's the Lone Wolf, Baron Corbin. Because I'm not a big Corbin fan. I just don't really see that much in him. I don't think he's that great yet. I think he came in too soon. And he's got it. He's smart. He's got his hair, like, totally wet down. So it doesn't look as bad because usually his hair looks pathetic because for his age, his hair is so thin. It's like, you just shave the shit off, dude. It looks fucking sad. But we got our second big war spot of the night. And there goes Ty Dillinger flying out of the ring like the jobber that he's going to be if he's called up. And, I don't, you know, the NXT, they have some people they get behind. He's okay, but I've never seen a big deal about Ty Dillinger and stuff. So, anyway, he's gone now. So now you got Corbin and Dean, Sammy all triple teaming. The big Braun Strowman, and here comes the big Halula kick that looks fucking awesome. Really, like, kick the shit out of him. And then we get this running clothesline from Baron Corbin on Strowman that eliminated him. And this clothesline was fucking awesome. I mean, it was an awesome visual because he fucking clotheslined the shit out of him, and Braun put flying out of the ring, and now he's pissed off and leaving. So now we're down to Baron Corbin, Dean Ambrose, Sami Zayn, and a sleeping Chris Jericho on the outside of the match. And now they're showing the replay of the clothesline. And it was awesome because Strowman went flying out of that damn ring. And back to it, starting to slow down again. And here we go. We got the counter going. And let's see who's coming in now. And 3, 2, 1. It's number 14, and it's the first member of the New Day. It's Kofi coming to the ring, and I'm sure everybody's wondering what the big spot was going to be. He's kind of jumped the shark in a way that how's he going to top the shit that he's done in the past? It's like, there's no way. So everyone's going to be disappointed. And there was, like, one Kofi spot. And, like I say, it wasn't the best. It was okay, but it wasn't that great. And at this point, I was making fun of my one buddy because the one guy I went with, he's a very casual wrestling fan. And but he'll go with me every once in a while to the show. So we went to a show, and it was when Kofi was still new to the company. And everyone was chanting Kofi. But my one buddy asked this kid next to us, what are they chanting? And the kid, he said Kofi, but it sounded like he said cold feet. So the next thing I know, I'm hearing my friend chant, cold feet, cold feet. And I'm like, what the fuck are you talking about? And he's like, cold feet, man, cold feet. He's fucking awesome. He's badass. And I'm like, cold feet? He's like, yeah, Kofi. I go, his name is fucking Kofi, dude, not cold feet. And then I always make fun of my friend for that after that. But, yeah, so when I'm with my buddy watching, it's not Kofi, it's cold feet. And now we got another entrance about to come in, and crowd's going. The crowd, every time the camera would turn on, the crowd would just jump to their feet and start looking to the thing and see what was going on. So we got 15, we're halfway there, and we got The Miz. And holy shit, Maurice, is, God damn, oh my gosh, you got a camel toe going too. Holy shit. Fuck, dude. And he just got a kiss and a little fucking grab ass. And I like The Miz, but if you don't like The Miz, you at least got to respect the dude because of his piece of ass that he has. I mean, Jesus fucking Christ, Maurice is fucking hot, dude. I mean, she's so fucking awesome. And now Miz is hitting his big move on everybody. And like I say, I like The Miz. Anyone who doesn't like The Miz is stupid. And stuff. So anyway, he's trying to get over Dean. Dean's not going over yet. And going to go ahead and hit the 10-second thing here. And he's doing the Daniel Bryan kicks. But anyways, Baron Corbin just did this badass spin side slam on The Miz. That was pretty awesome. So now we got Sammy, Miz, Corbin, Cold Feet, Dean, and Chris Jericho still sleeping on the outside from the big knockout punch. And Corbin's in control as most of the guys are beat down right now. And there you can see it. You can see his bald head. It's like, come on, dude, just get some fucking hair plugs or shave that shit off. Oh, here's the Kofi spot. He's on the top rope, and Corbin's about to, what the fuck did he do to him? Did he kick him or did he fucking, oh, Kofi, he backed up onto the post, which is the posts are a lot bigger now, and he just kind of looked like he was going to fall back, but kind of hit it with his chest and just kind of hung on and stayed on. So an impressive spot, but when you've seen the other shit he's done, it wasn't really nothing. And so people were kind of disappointing, like one guy in a row, that better not be the spot. It's like, what the fuck you want the dude to do? He can't fly for real or anything. It's like, what are you going to repeat shit? So anyway, we got the counter coming down. Got number 16, I believe, is coming in. And let's see who number 16 is here. It's Sheamus. Sheamus is coming in. Mr. Pasty himself. And he's running down. And he's probably going to get blown up before he gets into the ring. Goddamn, it's so fucking far. You think he's a big guy. They should have gave him the fucking the golf cart. They only gave it to, like, the biggest of the dudes and shit. So Sheamus is in there running wild on everybody here. Going to hit the 10-second thing here. And because basically it's just Sheamus knocked the shit out of everybody. And Chris Jericho finally got back in the ring. And now Miz is about to get clubbered with, like, the forearms from Sheamus. And they're doing that thing with the camera zooming kind of in and out, but not as bad as they used to do it. So, anyways, ooh, big bro kick on Chris Jericho, and probably going to roll out of the ring and take another break. They're showing a replay of Kofi, and it was impressive, but like I say, it's like, you know, the shit he's done before, how are you going to fucking top it? And I'm kind of disappointed he doesn't wear his gold wing shoes anymore. Those things were awesome. I don't care if they don't go with the rest of his outfit. Those shoes were fucking money. And now we got Jericho's slowly rolling out of the ring. And there he goes. And now we got the countdown. As things have kind of slowed down a little bit and the ring's kind of filling up. So now we got what we got here. They pulled away so I can't see. Fuck, what's going on? Who the fuck is it? I don't have the sound on, so else I could, I would know. Oh, it's fucking Big E. And Big E, you almost see him get it. You almost see him get in the golf cart. As soon as he, like, took one step on it, they cut away. And, I don't know why they didn't show that shit, man. I don't know why fucking Big E needed to ride the fucking golf cart. I mean, he's a big dude, but he's young and in shape. I mean, I can see why with the Big Show and Strowman and shit, but anyway, so now Big E's in the ring, and he's got a domino stretch on the Miz, and he's slapping his ass to get everyone to chant New Day Rocks to him, feeling the Miz's ass the way the Miz felt Maurice's ass before he went to get into the ring. Double team with him and Kofi on the Miz, and the New Day, or two-thirds of the New Day, is running wild, and going to go ahead and hit the 10-second thing here. And Miz is almost out. Sammy's almost out. But they're staying in. And, they're both back in. And here comes the timer again. And let's see what we got here. 4, 3, 2, 1. I don't even know what number they're at now. I keep losing track. And, we're at 18, and it's Rusev, and he's got Lana, and goddamn, Lana's looking fucking, oh my god, dude. I don't know who I would take Lana or Maurice. I mean, goddamn it, dude, they're fucking incredible. Rusev is wearing, like, a mask, like, you would see in, like, a basketball player got his nose broken and was trying to play, and, had no idea why. Apparently, I guess he got hurt on Raw, and he's coming in as a force of nature here. And if you remember the first time Rusev was in the Rumble when he made his debut, he went in the ring, and it was like five or six dudes, and he picked all of them up and put them over the top rope, but none of them went to the floor. And he just threw Sheamus over the top, but Sheamus didn't go out. He just threw Sammy over the top, but Sammy didn't go over the top. So it's like Rusev's gimmick in the Royal Rumble is he knows to throw him over the top, but he doesn't know the full rules for them to touch their feet or whatever. So it's like he never fucking throws anyone really over the top. Or he throws them over the top, he just doesn't eliminate their ass. So anyway, so now we got the rings really filling up. We got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, and then 9 if you count Chris Jericho. But you got all these fools in there, and thinking I know who's next. Or no, I probably don't. I don't think Lesnar comes in until later. So anyway, here comes the countdown, down to 6, 5, 4. And like I say, they're all beating on each other, but nothing like too exciting is happening. They kind of tone it down for the countdown. So okay, here comes Cesaro, and he's running to the ring. And he's still running to the ring. Like I said, it was a long way from the entrance to the ring. And right off the bat, he grabs Miz, and he does the spin, and then he drops Sammy. Now he's got Sammy, and he picks Sammy up like nothing, and he's spinning Sammy around, and he's still got Sammy. And he drops him. Now he's got Dean, and he's spinning Dean around, and now he dropped Dean, now he's got Kofi, and now he's spinning Kofi around. He's slowing down, now he's got Big E, but now he's a little tired and dizzy, and he can't really get Big E, and he fucking falls down because he's so dizzy. He's selling the dizziness, and here comes Corbin, but he grabs Corbin, and he's able to get Big Corbin up and spins Corbin around. Kind of slow, though, but he still got him around for a couple times, and now he's so dizzy and disoriented, he grabs Sheamus And he's about to do it to Sheamus, and Sheamus is like, no, no, no. But he looks like he really wants to do it. But before he can, he gets super kicked by Rusev. So that was actually pretty fun with Cesaro going crazy with the Giant's wings here. So anyway, so now the ring's really full. We got like 10 people in there and stuff. And here comes the countdown. And here we go here. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. All right, what's going on here? Who's coming out? Oh, and now we got the third member of the New Day. Xavier Woods is coming out. And he's running down the aisle. And it's so funny because they're running as fast as they can, but it still takes forever to get in the ring. And he's got his Iron Sheik boots on, so why can't Kofi have his fucking gold wing boots on? I don't get that shit. But Xavier's starting to run wild on Sheamus, and they're all taking turns on Sheamus all the New Day. And, well, mainly Kofi and Xavier, they're just beating the shit out of Sheamus and hitting all kinds of moves. And now Big E is going to hit a big splash. And the Miz had to get out of his way when he was bouncing off the ropes. And, yeah, he just crushed Sheamus. And it wasn't as bad as when he crushed Bubba Ray right in the face when they were on the outside. So Cesaro's trying to fight the New Day. And now it's kind of slowing down, so I guess the counter is about to start here in a minute. And Xavier almost goes out, but he holds on. Then Kofi almost goes out, but Xavier throws him back in. And then Miz throws him out on the apron on the other side. And anyway, he threw him into the corner, and the Miz took a double kick from Kofi and Xavier from the outside. And now they almost eliminated the Miz, but he holds on. So here comes the counter at zero. And here comes, I forgot if it was Randy. It's Bray. It looks so awesome seeing all the fucking fireflies, as they call them. He's 21, by the way. So he's coming out with his lantern. And, yeah, there was just so many cell phones going. It looked incredible. While the match is going on, that was another added effect. Seeing everyone hold their phones up with their flashlights going. And that was super cool. And it kind of worked that he kind of took his time to the ring because it was such an awesome visual seeing all the fireflies here. So I'm going to go ahead and jump ahead a little bit here to the 10-second thing. And now, and Bray's just barely getting into the ring, so now he's slamming people. He's got his dreads gone. And, yeah, he's just one by one taking everybody out. Now he just took out Dean. Now he took out Cesaro. Now he punched Rusev. Now Sheamus. And they put Bray over pretty strong here. Oh, now he's having to stare down with Xavier. Remember a while back, Xavier was scared he's starting to fight back a little bit, but boom, just Sister Abigail on Xavier Woods. And, oh, no, he got out of it, big forearm, and just got fucking clubbered right there with a fucking clothesline from Bray. And here's where you can tell the timer is, like, different, because it must have took, like, over a minute for him to get into the ring and stuff. And, okay, now Sheamus and Cesaro are fighting with the New Day. And they got Kofi and Xavier on the outside of the ring, and they're clubbering on him. And here comes Big E to save him. And the counter is going down to 0-1. And let's see who it is here. Where are we at? 19, maybe? Or 22? And it's Apollo Crews. And he's running down. And Apollo Crews, everyone was so hyped when they signed Apollo Crews, and it's an example of the people who, like, watch, like, Evolve or PWG, the big work rate fans. it shows that they're like such a small minority because, you know, Apollo Crews in an Evolve match, a PWG match, is awesome because he can do a lot of moves and flippy doos, but that's all he is. I mean, he has a great body. He's very athletic and do all this shit, but you have to do more than flippy doos in the WWE. You have to tell a story. Okay, there goes the entire, all three members of the New Day from Cesaro and Sheamus, and that everyone went crazy for that. So they kind of slapped hands, and now Sheamus is trying to throw Cesaro, and Chris Jericho finally woke up, and he threw out Cesaro and Sheamus, and now they're out. That was awesome. But going back to Apollo Crews, I mean, he can do all this shit, but he can't tell a story during the match. He can do his flips, but he can't sell the rest of the match. Like, he can't, the notes, you have to listen to the music between the notes, and he has none. And, you know, I think he could learn and get better, but he's been, to me, he's been a major disappointment since he got to WWE, because he's someone, you look at him, and you know Vince has got to be in love with the dude, just because the dude looks like one of those old He-Man action figures where he's just chiseled to every fucking thing and can do so much for his size, but he has not got over in WWE. And like I say, big disappointment as far as I'm concerned. And so maybe one day he'll get it and he'll get better. But anyway, here comes number 23, and it's Randy Orton. And he's kind of jogging to the ring because, you know, he's not going full speed like some of these guys, and he's hit the ring, and boom, here comes the Viper. Boom, he's taking out everybody. And big power, he's got that beautiful power slam that he does. He hit the Miz with it. And now, let's see, what's he going to do? Oh, RKO on Corbin. And now RKO on the Rusev. And now, let's see. Oh, Sammy kind of gave him an elbow. Sammy's about to come off the second rope. Oh, he kicked Orton. And he's coming off. And the top rope, and he got RKO. That was actually an awesome spot. He kind of did a little springboard up from the second to the top rope. And then got RKO. So now Randy and Bray, he helped Bray up. So now they're standing tall together as everyone's down. And Jericho almost looks like he wants to go out of the ring again. But he's staying in for now. And kind of slowed down a little bit, and let's see who the next person coming in is going to be here. And I'm actually amazed I've been able to talk throughout most of this without too many dead air moments. And we got the countdown coming down, and we're at 6, 5, 4. Excuse me, I had to hit my Evan Bourne gimmick. So 24. Oh, we got Dolphin. I haven't liked Dolphin years. I just don't. Dolph doesn't do anything for me anymore. They just buried him so much. It's like, how can you care about this fucking goof? And he's talented. He just he thinks he's Shawn Michaels by doing the moves. But Shawn Michaels, you know, he had that the music between the notes and Dolph. He doesn't have that at all, dude. He's going like a million miles an hour, and it's just sloppy at times. And he does have a good super kick. There's a super kick party going on. There ain't no party like a super kick party. And he's attacking, you know, he's supposed to be a new heel, but he's attacking everybody, which it is a rumble. I mean, it's kind of understandable, but it's like he should kind of attack the baby faces first. So he's almost getting eliminated from Dean here. So there's actually a lot of people in the ring now. Shit, I don't even know how many. Let's see here. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. There's about 10. They've been kind of at that number for a while. Let's see here. Okay, here comes the countdown. And forgot where we're at. And let's see here. 2, 1. Okay, here comes Luke Harper. So now we got the entire Wyatt family coming on. And you think they give big-ass Luke Harper a fucking ride on the fucking golf cart, but they're not. So they got this giant fucking hillbilly dude running to the ring, and Warden's looking at him because he's kind of had some beef with the Warden, and they're looking like they want to get into it. So he's coming in, scoring off. Well, actually, he jumped on Apollo Crews first, and kind of running wild a little bit here. Let's see what's going on here. I forgot when they did the fucking big score off. Okay, there goes Apollo Crews. He's out. And now, okay, they're staring at each other again. And now Luke has these great fucking... Luke's awesome. He's so awesome. I wish he'd get a better push. And now Bray's trying to hold him back and tell him, chill out. You know, we're a team. We're a fucking family. And Randy's kind of smiling at him. And Bray's trying to play peacemaker. And Bray takes a fucking spinning clothesline from Luke. And now Luke is fucking jumping up on Randy and kicking Randy's ass. Big boot to Randy. And he was over as a babyface when he came out. I mean, such an awesome dude. I mean, and he's actually a big Ed and San Antonio fan. You know, he's I don't know if he still is, but I would assume he's still a member of the website. he's a big Ed and San Antonio fan, so that makes him all right in my book. And he's about to give Bray the sister Abigail and gave him the kiss, but before he could deliver, Randy hits an RKO out of nowhere. And now most of the guys are kind of like laying down, kind of beat down. So there's a lot of guys in there now. So I think I know who's coming in next. Here comes the countdown. 6, 5, 4. Dean's just turning in a circle looking for someone to jump on. Finally decided to jump on Corbin. So, yep, here it is. Place went fucking crazy. Everyone stood up. Here goes Brock Lesnar. Because you know shit is about to go down. And there goes the pyro and the big man's coming to the ring. And, yeah, everyone was going fucking crazy, dude. I was fucking standing up, jumping up and down because I knew I was about to see a can of whoop-ass get open on. And he's just taking his time, walking down. Paul Heyman strutting behind him, smiling as cocky as he can be. When you're walking next to Brock Lesnar, I guess you can be as cocky as you want to be. And Brock's finally getting to the ring. And fucking just clobbered Dean. And there goes Dean Ambrose by Dean. He's out. There goes Ziggler, threw him out like nothing. And just German the fuck out of Rusev. German the fuck out of Chris Jericho. German Baron Corbin. F5 on The Miz. F5 on Randy Orton. He took it easy on Randy after he fucking almost killed Randy the last time they wrestled each other. So now Brock Lesnar's standing tall and everybody down. And he's just fucking waiting for somebody to get up. I mean, the body, the carnage is just everywhere. They're just like 10 dudes just fucking just laying down, unable to get up. And Brock is just standing over all of them. And here comes the timer. And everybody figured this is going to be Goldberg. So everyone was kind of chanting Goldberg. And here comes the timer. In 3, 2, 1, and the swerve. As it wasn't Goldberg, it was Enzo Amore. So I love Enzo. He's fucking wacky. And saying they didn't want to eat no chicken after that commercial they did earlier, but I want some. I'm gonna go get me some gold chicken from KFC tomorrow. So Enzo's running down his full blast, and he's all fired up, and not very smart because it's like he's not afraid of Brock Lesnar. Brock's like, come on in. He's laughing at him, and here comes Enzo all fucking acting all tough, talking shit, getting all fired up, taking off his T-shirt to show his not muscles, and he's fired up, man. He's ready to go, certified G. He's all fucking going crazy, and fucking boom, he just got his head taken off like Stan Hansen just fucking hits Masawa or something, dude. And there goes Enzo Amore I thought they might have gone to try and break the record, but he's out of there. And now he's suplexing. He just threw Sammy across the ring on that suplex. Replay of Enzo getting his head taken off. There goes Chris Jericho again. And fucking beast. And now he's fucking pounding on Rusev. And just suplex the shit out of Rusev. Here comes the timer again. Okay, so now everyone knows. Okay, now it's almost guaranteed it has to be Goldberg. And people are like, you could tell the people know it's going to be him. So there goes the buzzer. And yes, it is Bill Goldberg at number 28. So we're almost done here. And there goes all the sparks. And it's amazing how Goldberg can stand in those sparks, man. I don't know. I don't think I'd want to do it. I think my beard or hair would catch on fire. And he just stands in the middle of like nothing. And then he breathes out the, it looks like he hit it. It looks like he was taking a hit off his Evan Bourne gimmick pin while the sparks are going on. And then a big puff of smoke comes out of his mouth. And Brock's like, you see, this is a little bit of worry on his face, but also worry about him wanting to kick some ass. And here comes Goldberg. And Brock's fucking looking like he wants to whoop some ass. And the place was buzzing big time. They couldn't wait for fucking this standoff. And Goldberg's getting up and into the ring. And big stare down between the two. And Brock misses the clothesline, gets speared. He took an awesome spear. And Goldberg's awesome in short spurts. It's just been, he has to go a long time. And big clothesline, and there goes Brock Lesnar. So second time in a row, Brock or Goldberg make Brock look stupid. So, which is kind of cool because you know that means to build up to WrestleMania, Brock is just going to go wacko and kill everybody to build up to this big main event match with Brock or Goldberg. And so now Goldberg's just kind of running wild, and he's very out of control. And he was when he was, I mean, he was so green back in the day, but it just worked with him because he's just so intense, and he's still got that intensity, but he's still out of control. And he's going to give a big jackhammer to Sami Zayn. Yeah, boom, hit Sami Zayn with the big jackhammer. And now Bray and Wyatt are pounding on him. And stuff. So, anyway, I like Brock. He's been doing awesome since he came back. Even when he was fucking up his promo on Raw, it was so fucked up that it was actually kind of awesome. And he just hit a big spear on both Bray and Randy Orton. And Goldberg. Why do I keep saying Brock? Goldberg standing tall over everybody laying down. And here comes the timer. And there's only basically two people, and you know one of them is going to have to be The Undertaker. So they're winning the seat. Timer just went down. And then I figured The Undertaker was going to ride the golf cart, but they kind of swerved everybody. I guess he must have been hiding under the ring for most of the match or something, because the pyro's going off on the stage. Everyone's looking at the stage, ready with their cameras to take photos. And then all of a sudden, The dead man is not at the entrance. He's in the ring behind Goldberg. And the lights come on. Yeah, he's in the ring. Goldberg's like, what's going on? And he slowly turns. And now we have a big face-off between Goldberg and The Undertaker. And this is a pretty intense moment. And Undertaker grabs him by the throat. But then not everybody, but Corbin and Rusev jump on them. And Undertaker, you know, God bless him, he is getting old, and he's kind of starting to show it. But he's still The Undertaker. He still knows what he's doing. He's still fucking awesome. Anyway, Rusev just went flying out of the ring. And now Baron Corbin goes flying out of the ring. And spear by Goldberg, basically, he hit Undertaker with his head. They would have called a penalty in the football because you're not supposed to do that shit no more. and Luke Harper went out of the ring, and now Goldberg is eliminated by The Undertaker and stuff. So some people might say they're disappointed that the big honchos didn't actually weren't in the ring in a long time or didn't interact. But to me, it's better. It's just getting a little tease out of everything. So now we got Miz and Sammy are trying to fight Undertaker, but Undertaker's fighting. So by this point, I totally forgot that Roman Reigns was in the Rumble. And I'm thinking to myself, there hasn't been any big surprises. And I'm thinking to myself, they just announced Kurt Angle for the Hall of Fame. And supposedly he canceled a booking this weekend or sometime around here. And I'm thinking to myself, I might even be a spot ahead of myself. I'm not sure. I forgot what fucking number fucking Undertaker was. But when it came down to 30, I was so excited. I was so ready because I was waiting to hear. Let's see who's coming out right here. 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. I think there was somebody before Roman. Could be wrong, though. No, it's Roman. So anyway, I totally forgot about him being 30, so I was just waiting for Donna, Donna, and I was going to lose my fucking mind, and then they play Roman's music, and I was like, you fucking motherfuckers. That was an awesome troll job. And people fucking hated Roman, and apparently he doesn't fit the weight limit to ride the golf cart because he's walking through the ring. And Undertaker's looking at him, waiting for him. And the way they're showing this, it's like Roby jumped the gun on jumping on Dave because it's very clear that they are going to do Roman and Undertaker at WrestleMania. Yeah, Roman's looking in the ring. Undertaker is standing right under the sign. And they're staring each other down big time. And Roman's got like a cut on the bridge of his nose. I never really saw any blood in either of the matches, but I guess he busted that up pretty good. So, yeah, they're still staring each other down. And I guess the match will be okay. Hopefully they'll be smart and turn... Oh, Roman just got sucker punched by The Undertaker. But hopefully they'll turn Roman heel or whatever. If he beats The Undertaker, he'll definitely be a fucking heel. People are going to be pissed if he fucking... He's The Undertaker at WrestleMania, and he's winning on Taker. Taker just clotheslining down. Taker, you know, he had surgery, so I can't blame him for not being in the best shape. He does look kind of soft with the belly. He's really in much better shape come WrestleMania. So I guess he's not going to do a whole lot, and hopefully he'll get in a little better shape because, yeah, this is probably the worst I've ever actually seen The Undertaker looked physically as far as, like, being the biggest I've ever seen him. Usually more shredded. He usually does get in good shape for WrestleMania. And he's still running wild on everybody. And, you know, he's still The Undertaker, dude. He's still awesome no matter what he fucking looks like. And there goes The Miz. And I don't feel bad for The Miz because he gets to go backstage and fuck Maurice now. And there goes Sammy. Sammy's out, and basically you got Undertaker, Reigns. He almost threw Reigns out, but Reigns holds on. Now he's got Jericho. He's going to go for a choke slam on Jericho. He gave him a wedgie, too, so it was a fucking choke slam and a wedgie, so that was a new combination. And now he's doing the throat cutting motion, and now Reigns comes up behind him and eliminates The Undertaker. And Reigns is looking down on him, and Taker does a sit-up and looks at him. And, yeah, you can tell that it's on for WrestleMania between Undertaker and Roman. And like I said earlier, I was expecting Chris to cost Owens a match, and that would lead to them having their match at WrestleMania. So now I'm thinking everything I can think of for Roman to fucking win. So now I'm thinking, okay, Jericho's going to win, and that's going to lead him to challenging Owens for the title at WrestleMania. But that was very short-lived because it wasn't very much longer that fucking Roman got rid of Chris Jericho. In fact, I'm hitting the 10-second thing, and Jericho's down. And Roman picks him up, starts fucking yelling at him and shit like a fucking dick that he is. And there goes Chris Jericho. Or he starts to skin the cat. But then, he actually even forearmed Roman. And now he's going to the top. And this is where Roman flying Superman punch. And there goes Chris Jericho. So then I'm like, damn it, they better not let this motherfucker win again. I fucking can't stand some bitch. But it's him against Randy Orton and Bray Wyatt. So it's 2-on-1. And Randy looks like he wants to sneak up on him. But Roman's realizing that it's him against the two of them. And Bray's smiling. And they're just kind of stalking him down and getting ready to attack. And they jumped on Roman and they're beating Roman up here. and they're just beating him down. And they got him on the apron. And now Randy's going to go for his draping DDT. And there goes Reigns down, boom. And so they're winning on Reigns. And then Bray just starts stomping his foot all weird. Looks kind of funky. And he does a thing where he looks down and stuff. So anyway, he's getting ready to do Sister Abigail, gives a kiss. But he kind of gets away. Superman punch on Bray. Superman punch on Randy. Bray comes running at him. He steps to the side and throws Bray out. So now it's down to Roman and Randy Orton. And he's getting ready to do the big spear. He's all fired up. And I'm like, please, God, let Meltzer be right that Randy's fucking winning. And boom, RKO out of nowhere. Randy Orton has such a perfect timing on the RKO. And there goes Roman Reigns. And your winner of the 2017 Royal Rumble going into winning supposedly a main event at WrestleMania. It's not the main event. Everyone knows the main event's going to be Brock against Bill Goldberg. But in one of the main featured matches, Randy Orton gets to fight for the title. And then, so they're probably going to do a thing if the plans are correct and Meltzer has it right, where Bray will win the title at Elimination Chamber and then Randy will challenge Bray at WrestleMania. So we're looking like it's going to be Randy Orton against Bray, Undertaker against Reigns, Goldberg against Brock. I'm not too sure what Cena's doing or what. I guess it would be Owens and Jericho, hopefully, because Jericho is taking a break. They're having a big rock fest here at the Dome also, and I know Fozzy's in it. So, yeah, Jericho's going to go take his music break. Like Sid Vicious used to take his softball breaks, Jericho's got to take his band break. So, anyway, they're showing replay of the finish. And, I was extremely happy. As awesome as the show was and awesome as the Rumble was, had Roman won, it would have ruined everything, and I probably would have hated everything, but he didn't win, so it was an awesome show. And then luckily we didn't have too much problems getting out of the building and then got out of the before we parked. We didn't park at the actual Dome. We ended up parking like a couple blocks away at this one house that had a big backyard, and they were just charging $30 to let people park in their backyard. And so it wasn't too bad. I'm sure they were charging a lot more at the Dome. So Randy's pointing at the sign. Fireworks are going off here. And anyway, after the show, we got out of there. I dropped my one buddy off. He had to go home. And then I went to this one little Mexican restaurant, and I met up with Chris and Wade and Robin and one guy from Nacogdoches, Texas, talks like a cowboy. And then Wade from Fargo, North Dakota. And then Robin is an English guy who lives in Hong Kong. And all cool dudes. I remember last year I had I was charging for the bus and the Mania dinner. And I get and he was paying for himself and his girlfriend, so he's paying for everything. So I get like a thing that says, okay, you got like 200 Singaporean dollars. And I'm like, 200 Singaporean? What the fuck does that come out to? It's fucking American. So I hit the button thinking it's going to be close. And then it says like $16 American. I was like, what the fuck? I was like, dude, are you like ribbing me, trolling me? What the hell? But anyway, he just forgot to hit the translation on the money thing and send it to me right. But anyway, we had a some food and some drinks, had a good old time, and then came home and then had to go do the paper, finished that, came here, did this pretty much right after I got home. So anyway, my voice is tired from talking so much, and there's only like 9 minutes left of the 90 minutes that I fucking put on the show. So I'm going to go ahead and end the show, and hopefully we'll be back Friday, or hopefully, who knows. It's like I say, Couture disappears for weeks at a time. Craig is always working. Hell, he might have quit the show and didn't bother to tell us. I don't know yet. Peach, you know, he's available sometimes. So hopefully we'll do something. We really do need to get track and getting back to business and doing more shows. But anyway, hopefully we'll be back next week. Until then, talk to everybody later.
This is Jim Rudnick, and I'm here to say we've got the greatest wrestlers in the AWA. But you're not here to listen to me mumble. Let's fill you in on the Wrestle Rock Rumble. Get on!
Wrestle Rock, be there.
We're the Midnight Rockers, Sean and Marty. We love to wrestle, and we love to party. You don't have to worry, we're not gonna bumble, cause we'll be shaking to the Wrestle Rock Rumble. Ow!
Wrestle Rock. I'm the Sheik, and that's not funny. I got my army a lot of money. If Gunny in my way, I make him crumble. He be sorry, I did the Wrestle Rock Rumble.
Wrestle Rock, be there.
I'm Jerry Blackwell, I want to see. I want to get my hands on that pencil neck geek. As I watch the EDF fumble, I'm going to make my splash in the Wrestle Rock Rumble.
The AWA, you, me, and Wrestle Rock.
I'm Greg Gagne, I'm in a rage. I want Brody, and I want him in a cage. A high flying dropkick will make him see double. I grind him up at the Wrestle Rock Rumble. Woo!
Wrestle Rock.
I'm Kurt Hennig.
And Big Scott Hall. The tag team champs will take on them all.
So bring on the Long Riders, those dirt ball dumbos.
We'll smear those whips to the Wrestle Rock Rumble.
I've got a passion. I'll get the title back from that humanoid Hanson. I've got the brains, and I'm not humble. I'll take the belt back and do the Wrestle Rock Rumble.
Wrestle Rock, April Konya, at the Dome.
Wrestle Rock, 86, be there.
I won't be through till I get done slapping around Scott the Duke. Gonna beat the ugly bartender into a bundle and laugh all the way doing Wrestle Rock Rumble. Ow!
This game duck got a mouth that won't quit, but I'm Scott the Duke and want to smack a little shit. And when I'm through, you won't be able to mumble. I'll be left alone doing the Wrestle Rock Rumble. Yeah!
Just one last word from the former champ Burns, but give a lot of thought to one more turn. There's some old scores that still give me trouble, and I'm starting to get the urge to do the Wrestle Rock Rumble.
So there you have it, and now you know him, and on April 20th, it's at the Dome. So get your tickets to be under the bubble, because you two can be doing the Wrestle Rock Rumble. Do it!
Rumble. Wrestle Rock Rumble.
The Wrestle Rock Rumble.
Wrestle Rock Rumble.